together with you, to be one with you. Stir up the heart of your people, especially our inner man, that we are strong to stand together in Zion, that your will can be fully accomplished on this earth. And we expect the return of our Lord Jesus Christ very soon. That it happens very soon. We thank you for this time of fellowship. Amen. Praise God. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. He asks whether... Sometimes the technical stuff doesn't work so well. Dear greetings to all the saints. We thank the Father for this time of the conference. I don't trust in ourselves in this conference, but fully on Him. Because only He can help us. I am convinced that we all know that the time is at hand. Even 2,000 years ago, the apostles, in their letters, they warned us, the Lord will come soon. Of course, since then, 2,000 years passed by. In that time where the apostles lived, they had an inner sense the Lord will come in their time. Actually, it doesn't really matter when the Lord comes. It's a part of our faith. In our Christian life, not just to believe the Lord died for us, but that He comes soon again. I want to ask you a question to all of us. What is more important? What is more glorious? His death on the cross? His incarnation 2,000 years ago? Or His return? 1,000 years kingdom down to this earth. What is more important for you? What do you think will be more glorious? Or I would like to ask it that way. In your heart, what do you think of our Lord? Do you still think that He died on the cross? Or do you have more the sense that He is on the throne today? We all have this sense that He died for us on the cross. And we always think of His blood, and that is right so, rightfully. But what is more important? In the work of Christ, His incarnation, His crucifixion and resurrection, or His sitting on the throne? Do you think the Lord sits on the throne just for himself? Are you happy if the Lord today does not sit on the throne and he only died for us and forgave us and shown us all his mercies, wonderful mercies, and crucified for us, and he resurrected? Praise God, he did not stay in the tomb. Is this good enough? Is this everything what the Lord wants to achieve as a man? He died for us. And that's how he accomplished redemption. And we all treasure his redemption. I'm very thankful. But this is only the first step or the second step of his work. He did not just die for us. He is also for us on the throne today. This is also his work for us. Because God's plan for us is not just that we live without sin on this earth, but his goal for us is that we rule and reign with him. That we reign with God over everything that he created. That is God's plan for all men, for Adam. That the Lord came and accomplished redemption is only the first step. This is a wonderful work. We need redemption, we need forgiveness, and we need his precious blood. But why? All Christians believe that at the end, the Christians will all go into the heavens. What will you do in the heavens? I can never forget Brother Tony. Why, when the Lord died for us and we are in the heavenly places, what shall we do there? No one knows what to do in the heavens. Let's say, you really go to heaven, Tony. What will you do in the heavenly places? You will play guitar there. What will you do there? No one knows. If you ask the Christians, what will you do in the heaven? They don't know. We will listen to the angel choir. That's what we will do. What do you want to do? Should the angels there in the heavens give us daily a nice concert? That would be boring over time. Muchang. Isn't that good to be in the heavens? Every day you have an opera given by the angels. Muchang, what are you going to do in heaven? Ask all these pastors what they will do in the heavens. If they really get there, it's not even sure if they get there. We should rule and reign over all his creation, over this whole earth. The promise for us believers in the churches is that we should sit with him on the throne and rule with him over all the nations. But do you rule over the nations today? Try to rule their Malaga. Can you do that? If you could do that, call me. I will move to Malaga. And I will rule and reign with you, Malaga. Today, we don't rule. So when will you rule, if not today? When? And do we think? Do we think we can get there and rule and reign with him without preparation? If you want to be a teacher, a doctor, you have to learn a lot. Otherwise, no company will hire you and employ you. Otherwise, no one will hire you. As a doctor in the hospital or as a teacher, who will hire you if you're not learning anything? Or as an engineer or a scientist? Without you going through strict training and education. And you think you will rule and reign with Christ over the kings and the nations. Without having a serious preparation, you and I, we cannot even rule our own house. We cannot even rule our own children. And you don't discipline them. And you don't teach them to obey. Did we not read in Hebrews, because God loves us, he lets us do anything that we like? You all know the scriptures. Especially because God loves us. What does he do? He gives us the freedom to do anything that we want. Is that what the scripture says? It says he disciplines us. What does that mean? He disciplines like a father, the children, but you mothers and fathers, do you discipline your children? Shortly, I had an experience shortly ago. A father was with a child. The father was so lovingly and said, "Do you want to eat this?" And the kid said, "No, no." I stood next to him. I have a reaction immediately. I looked at a child. You don't speak like that. You don't say no. You say no, thank you. Even in these little things, the children need to learn. And the Father who loves us, he chastises us. And what does the Lord say to the church in Laodicea? Whom I love, I chastise. Are you willing to take the chastisement of the Father? How else can you learn obedience? honor your father and your mother. It's the fifth law. And it is the first promise. The first law was a promise that we live healthily and long on this earth. Do you think our Christian life doesn't need chastisement, discipline? That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians and in Ephesians and in Hebrews, we should not stay children. Not to be tossed to and fro and do whatever you want. If we are children, children of God, then the Father will chastise us. And if we are not willing to take His chastisement, then we are bastards, illegitimate children. Then we are not the really born children, but come from somewhere, from the street, adopted. My daughter, she has a dog. It's a shepherd. A German shepherd. This dog needs a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline. Daily, all the time. Sit, stay there. After 1 year of discipline, she learned it's a female dog. The dog learned to stay sit. Even the dog even listens to me. But do you think we don't need discipline? If you love your children, then learn to chastise them in love. The children need it. That later, when they are grown up, they also learn to listen to God. Because God is our Father. Because He's the Father of all. The problem in this world with the corrupted human beings is everyone is rebellious. Even those who are ruling in the governments, they are the worst. That we see in the US. I don't know how it is in Switzerland, in Europe, in Spain, no matter where. Also in China, the government, it is evil. When Jesus came the first time to this earth and He sent John the Baptist, what did John the Baptist say and how did he describe the present generation at his time? Oh, are you fine and good sheep? Did he call them that way? What did he call them? You brood of vipers. You generation of vipers. Wow. The Lord said the same. He said, you perverted, adulterous, murderous generation. Wow. In his first coming, the Lord came to a wonderful, obedient nation. How does our generation look like today? Does it look better than in World War II? Better than the times of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you think our time is better than the time of Lot? It is high time the Lord is coming back. Look what happened in Paris in the Olympics. I don't know if you saw it or heard about it in the news. They did devil worship in the opening ceremony, anti-Christian. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Dark, evil, and publicly against God. What was your reaction? Oh, it's so terrible. Not only that, oh, this is so terrible, they're against God. They are challenging God. It is an attack. And what is your reaction? What is our inner reaction? What is your feeling? Then after this was happened in Paris, a few months later, we forgot everything and we continue to live as before. We have no feeling that this is a battle. And when it comes to this point, where they publicly in this Olympic, it's a global organization that the whole world looks upon. And when we Christians are still so insensitive and think, oh, what a nonsense. It's not nonsense. It is evil. It's an extreme evil. It is an attack against our wonderful, holy faith. Against God. When we say we are Zion, and we can only watch it and cannot protest before God, we bind these dragons, we bind this evil. It's a shame for us believers if we don't have a feeling of God, that we don't have a feeling like God, how He sends us. Same reaction like our Lord reacts. if he doesn't show to us that the Lord will come back soon. This whole world is ready for his wrath. It's all ready for his wine press of his wrath. What more should the Lord show to us that he's coming back soon? Did the Lord not say when he comes, it will be like the days of Lot, like the days of Noah? This is what happened there in Paran. This is not a sign for us. This is worse than the times of Lot. It's worse. Then I feel really sorry for you if you don't feel that. Oh Lord, the Lord comes back soon. We appreciate his first coming, but actually his second coming is more glorious. But the question is this: are we qualified to be partakers of his kingdom, to inherit his kingdom? That is the question. Back then, the apostles already waited for the Lord to come back. But even if the Lord did not come in their time, they cannot live for 2,000 years. Who of the apostles is now 2,000 years old? Even Methuselah did not even become 2,000 years old. No matter in what age we live in, we believers, we should always live as the Lord comes in our time. Otherwise, we are like the foolish virgins, not prepared. And we don't enter the wedding. For the Lord, 2,000 years is like 2 days. But for me, 2,000 years, my goodness. 1 day is already for me like a year. But the older I become, I get, the shorter the day becomes. And I think, is this year already over? Dear saints, do not dream. Live in the reality of the spiritual life. We should live as the Lord is coming now. And the Gospel of Matthew is actually very similar to the book of Revelation. What was the first gospel preached by John the Baptist? See, the Lord comes. Repent. The Lord came to die for you. Was that his gospel? How does the first gospel sound in your ears? Repent. For what? for the kingdom is coming. Coming soon. It's come really closely. The kingdom comes. This is the gospel. The kingdom comes. The Lord said the same thing. Repent for the kingdom. And Revelation 2 and 3, it's the same preaching. The Lord preached to the churches, repent. Repent that we can overcome, that we can rule and reign together with Him. That we can sit with Him on the throne and rule with Him over the nations. We have to repent for the coming of the kingdom. And in Revelation 22, He said three times, "Behold, I am coming. I am coming for the kingdom." That means the kingdom is a goal of redemption. It's the goal for all what the Lord did for us. If we miss that goal, that will be a tragedy. There will be a lot of lamentation. And you will cry and throw into out the darkness. Salvation is free, a gift of God. But to inherit the kingdom is not free. We have to have the merit for it. We have to work for it. We have to deserve it. That's a reward. We have to be diligent. We have to be diligently cooperating with the Lord. We have to learn a lot and exercise. This life in us has to grow. Because the Lord is coming soon. Oh Lord, what should I tell you? There's so many verses in the Bible. James said so. James 5. The Lord is coming right at the door. When you open a door, you should be reminded, maybe the Lord is already at the door. Whenever you leave your house, think of that. When you open your door at your house, in my house, someone, we spoke about a word, many years ago we spoke about a word, Maranatha, in the book of Corinthians. The Lord is near. That means He's coming soon. And someone carved out of wood the word Maranatha, out of wood, and then painted it with gold. And at my door, at the upper part of my door, I have it there. So every time I leave my house, then I think, Maranatha, maybe the Lord is right out there. On the other hand, the Lord said to the church in Laodicea, "See, I stand at the door and knock. In your heart, do you have the wish, Lord, come back soon. I wait for you." But it's not just a waiting, but I also prepare. When you have invited guests to your house, don't you prepare? Yesterday, Sharon, we invited some guests to your house. When we all came at noontime, there was nothing on the table, nothing prepared. Can you imagine that? Do you think there will be a glorious feast? Nothing there, nothing prepared, just a cup of water. There, you don't need to prepare for that. For a cup of water, you don't need to prepare. There's a lot of preparation necessary. In Revelation 19, it says, "The bride has made herself ready." The preparation is so crucial for us. Don't think we have more time. No, no. I'm not even sure that we will have an election in November in the USA. Because the time is so near. I don't need another sign. I don't need it. You want to see more signs? Do you need more signs? What kind of sign do you still need? That we can tell the Lord, "Lord, we need to see this and that from you." No. That's why I have no desire anymore to fly and to drive anywhere. I said to myself, Zoom is good enough. I'm not even sure. What can you still ask of the Lord to do? The Lord has shown us everything. Since 2014-15. So for 10 years now. 2014, and now we have 2024. And so many things happened in the last 10 years, one after the other. And so I really hope that we are all watchful. And think about it. From the beginning on, I bring you back to the beginning. I bring you back to the outline here. Do I have it? Here in German. Yeah, I only have the outline in English. I don't need it. The first coming of the Lord is for our redemption. It is not wrong. It's correct. But redemption has a goal. Especially in the book of Revelation, it's so clear. He took our sins away, forgave them. That He turns us and makes us to a kingdom of priests unto His God and Father. That is the goal. You cannot see the redemption without a goal or the wrong goal. The teaching in Christianity gave us a wrong goal. It's that God achieves His goal to make us a kingdom of priests that who can rule and reign with us when He comes back to this earth. This is the goal. The earth is important. There's no other planet that is more beautiful, more meaningful than this earth. Who of you wants to live on Mars? Please, move to Mars. Take a trip to Mars. You can move there. And you can choose on which part of Mars or the moon. Maybe you can even own a whole planet. How would that be? No planet is more beautiful than this earth. And God Himself wants to come down to this earth. The heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city. It will come down from heaven on this earth. And His throne will be forever in Jerusalem. Not just somewhere. Not just up there. His throne will be forever on this earth in Jerusalem. Your garden is for sure much more beautiful. Ask the angels if they have a lot of flowers and fruit trees and wonderful creatures, if they have this all in the heavens. No. It's just a throne of God and the angels sit around it and they all look to us. The angels are really jealous for us. And the Lord will rule on this earth. And in the book of Revelation, we see a new heaven and a new earth. And that God has come down and He's living with us. It's not staying up there. That's why Satan, this deceiver, wants to deceive us all and say, oh, the heaven is so much nicer than the earth that we will all go there and he will get the earth. What a deceiver. And how stupid we people are that we believe his lies. Oh Lord, the 1,000 years kingdom when he comes. the Lord will restore this earth in all its beauty, whatever Satan has destroyed. So the 1,000 years kingdom is a time of restoration. Oh Lord, we are His kingdom already today, but not outwardly. His kingdom came. When Christ came to this earth, He is the kingdom. He did not just come as a redeemer. He came as a king. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Behold, your king has come." But in His first coming, it doesn't look like a king outwardly, but He is a king. That's why we wrote on the outline, even the wise from the east, most likely from Persia, they very likely learned from Daniel, because Daniel was at the highest place among all these wise men. He preached the gospel to them and told them, the King of the Jews will come. Your King comes, not your Redeemer. But He looks so lowly from the outside. He humbled Himself. He lowered Himself. He made Himself lower than an angel because He took on flesh and blood. And He even became a slave, not just a human being. But in reality, He is the King. So the wise man asked the question, who is the one that came as a slave? Where is he born? Did they ask that way? If he says, oh, a slave was born in Israel, you think King Herod will get mad? Oh, a slave is born. There are so many slaves there. Anyway, all my slaves. But Herod, King Herod, he was so scared when they said, where is the King of the Jews to be born? The King was born in Bethlehem. Micah said it. The one that is going to be born is from the eternity past. So He is God. And Isaiah says, His rule is unlimited. He is a king. Even Pilate believed it. And on the cross, he wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And they all got mad. And Pilate said, no, what I wrote, I wrote. I won't change that. But the evil people there, the Jews in those days, the unbelieving ones among them, they did not see. And they still wait for the Messiah. Can you imagine that? But remember, for the Jews, the Messiah is not a redeemer, but the anointed king. They wait for a king. But when he came, he's the son of a carpenter. He's not even born in the hospital, but in the stable.
Jesaja 53 hat gesagt, sogar keine Schönheit.
And Isaiah 53 said, no beauty to be seen in him. They had a different expectation. They expected a different person, that it comes a different way. But he's still the king. Hallelujah. The Gospel of Matthew, right in the beginning, said he's the son of Abraham, the son of David. He is a descendant of David who will sit forever on the throne. This is actually the emphasis, and this is the reason for redemption. That is why he wants to redeem us. That's why he wants to redeem us. Because we should rule and reign with Christ. Otherwise, the Lord could have reigned long time ago. You think the Lord is not qualified to rule and reign by himself? Why does he still wait? He waits for us. Why is he only the firstborn? Is it not good enough to be the only born, the only begotten? No, he's the firstborn. He became the firstborn that we, the men, can be the many brothers, the many sons. How can there be a kingdom, Zion, without a people? A king without a people? Over what should he rule and reign? Rule alone. In this world, they want to rule alone, every king. No matter what kind of government it is, they all want the power themselves, all in one hand. But God wants that we rule and reign with him. He wants us that we sit with him on his throne. Ask your chancellor in Germany that you want to rule with him. Oh, he won't share with you, by no means. He who wants to rule with him will be beheaded. Everyone wants to rule by himself, not just in the world, in politics, but also in religion. Look, how many popes can there be? How many popes can sit on the throne? No, but in Zion, the Lord is our King. The Lord is our King. Two times, the people of Israel rejected God as their King. One time was at the time of Samuel. They said, oh, we want a king like the other nations. Like all the other nations. They rejected God as their king. What a stupidity. What a foolishness. But when the Messiah came the first time, they declared, we have no other king but Caesar. My goodness. And then when Jesus came, they said, we have no other king but Caesar. This is not just foolishness. This is darkness. And how is it today? Did not God establish Christ as the head of the church?
Dann kam jemand und sagte, er ist der stellvertretende Christi.
then someone came, he's the deputy of Christ. Who can be a deputy of the authority of Christ? In Matthew, the end, the Lord said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Who is your head in Feingen and in Zurich? God is the head over everything, and Christ is the head of the husband, and the husband the head of the wife. But even the Lord said he's not the head, but the Father is the head. God is the head. So 1 Corinthians 15 says, when Christ receives the kingdom in the end, he will give the whole kingdom to the Father. He will pass it on to the Father. In the church, the Lord is our King. Do we really have this feeling that the Lord is our King? Who's the head in Zurich? Some sister? One brother? Or is the head the head? Is the Lord the head? Is he the one who God established as the head above all things? The head above all things. Is he the head in the church today? And in Colossians 3, he said, let the peace of God, of Christ, rule in your hearts. Who rules in your heart? Who rules in my heart? If there's something to decide who is the ruler, everyone wants to be right. Can you imagine in a soccer game, there's no referee? Who likes to play soccer here? Simon is a good soccer player. He used to be. A soccer game without a referee, then it will be a box ring and they will beat up each other. Actually happens, yeah. That's how it is among us believers. There's so much fighting. There's so much fighting and quarreling, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, fighting, quarreling. Christians, they fight about everything without a referee, without peace. No king. Everyone thinks he knows better. The Lord should not only sit on the throne and rule over all kings of the earth, but in his house, in the church, he has to rule as the head above all things. But not just this, but also in your heart and in my heart, he has to rule and reign. This is more specific. But we don't see it. That we don't feel. Who rules today? Who rules in this world? Who rules in the church? Who rules in my heart? In many things. Should I go? Should I stay home? Is this your will, Father? the Lord is our burnt offering. When he was on this earth, he did not do one thing according to his own will, but always in the Father, through the Father. What a man! That's why he can be the king. In all, he learned obedience, especially by the things which he suffered. Do you think, as we are today, can we sit on the throne? It will be chaotic if I sit on the throne. Then everything will be chaotic. Oh Lord, we have to appreciate. He is not just our Redeemer. He's on the throne. He's the one who overcame death. He overcame it by the power of resurrection. Even though we are saved, death still rules in us. We have a feeling for sin, but we have no feeling for death. That's why in Romans 8, he set us free from the law of sin. Is that all? No, of death as well. But we have a sense for sin, but we do not really know what is death. That's why one question from many saints lately was, what does it mean to experience death? But how does it, we know what sin, but how does the experience of death look like? Then I should pass on the question to you. Help me that I can have an answer next time when someone asks me that question. Wherever there's sin, death is not far. James says, when the enemy comes as a tempter and knocks at your door, we should not say, oh God, sends me temptation. God does not tempt anyone. God does not tempt, but from the tempter. That's how we know him, from the Garden of Eden. God warned Adam and Eve, but the snake, the serpent, the tempter came. He's a professional tempter. If we don't stop this temptation, if we don't stop it, sin will come. And if sin continues to work, then it will bring forth death. The three in one, then comes death. So there comes these three in one. Temptation, sin, and then death. Maybe you don't know that Trinity. We only know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Muchang. Is that true? Is that the way it is? But there's also another kind of Trinity. There's the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. It's also a Trinity. then death works, and we are spiritually so weak and have no strength to obey. Then, because we tasted death so often, we have no power to resist. This is already the work of death. We talked many times about the renewing of the mind before, and this is necessary. And Romans 8 said, you need to set your mind on the Spirit and not on the flesh. How do you do that? It means you have to choose. You have to choose whether you set your mind on the Spirit or on the flesh. And which part of your being helps you to choose? Spirit. The will. We emphasize the renewing of the mind, but it's just one part of our being. But equally important, maybe even more important, is the will. The will has to be renewed. Look in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they have to choose. But through the deception and through the temptation, and then they took the wrong tree. They ate and chose the wrong tree. And that's why Peter and James both say, resist the devil. Through the Spirit of power. Because death is the opposite of death. Who is still so strong when he is sick? Muchang, when you are sick, what do? You still go to the gym and do exercises. Do you do that, Muchang? Why not? You can do some sports, some exercise. Go swim when you're sick. What do? When you're sick? You lay down in your bed, Muchang. Is it not the case? Stay home. We are all like that. We have no strength. Then sickness comes. Weakness comes. You can do nothing. You cannot go to work even more. And when the sickness gets worse and worse, at the end you have death. We are so rebellious, disobedient. Not because we don't want. Do you want to sin? Do you want to sin? Why did we give up? Why did we surrender? Why? Because we are weak. But this weakness is not in the mind. The mind tells you not to do that. But the willpower is missing. But it's death operating in your will, and it weakens it. That's why you cannot only rely on your mind. Oh, knowledge we have, but the doing is the trouble. That's what it all depends upon. It matters what is up with your will. So it's not only a spirit of sound mind, but a spirit of power for your will. So the Lord's Paul's prayer was strengthen the inner man. The will is equally important, if not even more important. At least it's a very important part in our soul. Moses, he gave them a choice. Choose death or life. Everyone knows what's life. Everyone knows what's death. But the question is, what am I going to choose? Oh, Sharon, if you were there in the time of Moses, and you are all in your clear mind, life or death, what will you choose? In your mind, what will you choose? Death or life? Life, of course. But do you do it? Even your mind tells you, I want to choose life. But when you are in the situation, you are right there in the situation, having the choice, and your mind tells you, this is good, this is not good. Oh, I choose the good. Paul says what? Well, the good that I want to. But how should I do it? I don't find a way. Then he chose sin. Why? What is the problem? It's why our inner man has to be strengthened. Tell the Holy Spirit, strengthen my inner man, that my will is strengthened to choose to say no to temptation, to say, get thee behind me, Satan, and he will flee. And then you flee from all sin and temptation. Paul says, flee. Flee the youthful lusts. Don't stand there and try to fight. Flee. This is a battle. Will is important. Not just the renewing of our mind is important. Oh, I want to understand the Bible. I want to read it. I want to know these verses. You can know many things. That's not what it's about. Life is not equal knowledge. And knowledge is not equal life and strength. This life in our spirit must renew every part of our being. And this especially in this time. We have to work together with the Holy Spirit That's why Romans 8 says, if you put to death the works of the flesh, of the body, you will live. But if you walk by the flesh, you will have to die. You will have to die. So there's a choice for us. Do I want to choose these works of the flesh? Then I have to put them to death. If I want to live, I have to kill them. My mind tells me this is the flesh. If it's only a matter of the mind, there's no problem. But then to resist it, to say no, this is a matter of will. But this is tried by the Spirit. That's why it says, through the Spirit you put to death the works of your body. It is high time that we all wake up and understand it's not just the mind that has to be renewed, but our will as well has to be strengthened. To have the strength to say no, to resist it, and say no to the devil, then he will flee from us. This is an exercise, an exercise of the Spirit. May the Lord show us we are in the kingdom, and in this kingdom, and there's a conflict in between God and Satan. It's not that God has no power against the devil, but the battle is about us. It's about Zion, about Israel in those days. But Israel failed. They failed. At the end, their condition has become even worse than the nations around them. Oh, my Lord. And that was awful, terrible. We are born again. But if we are not growing and not growing in life and all our being, we have to grow in life. And the more we grow, the more we should love the Lord and deny the world. And this is, it's not only by the mind, but through the will. And in Ephesians 6, the battle is more in the will. That's why Paul says, stand firm. And don't be afraid. Say no to your flesh. Say no to your terrible thoughts. Say no to the lusts of the flesh, to the lusts of the eyes, to the pride of your heart. If when a temptation comes, right in the beginning, if you know who knocks on the door, say, get thee behind me, Satan. Don't be like Eve. And you keep conversing with the devil. And you will start discussing with him. Satan can discuss much better than we can. And on the other side, we have to let the Word of God dwell richly in our heart. It should dwell richly in our hearts, not just understand that the word of the Lord, that in every situation the Lord can speak to us. That it will strengthen our inner man. Otherwise, we cannot rule with him. Think about it. In Zion is the battle today. The battle is not in heavens. That is no problem. It's why God waits till the male child gets raptured to the throne, and then Satan will be cast down. That will be his end. Because on this earth we won the battle as overcomers. Zion. If the Lord does not win the battle with you, among you in Zurich, on Feingen, that's not good news. Or somewhere in Switzerland. Even if you think you're only so few. It's not about a size, few or many. David was quite small when he defeated Goliath. We are Zion today. Remind yourself of Psalm 110. The strength, his mighty staff, his mighty scepter comes from Zion. It gets stretched forth out of Zion, out of us. If the Lord wants, he can send myriads of angels. It doesn't need myriads of angels. The Lord said it himself. He could have sent, God can send myriads of angels. How can they capture Jesus? You think the people can just capture Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? No, impossible. But the Lord doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to fight in that way. He wants to fight as a man. He wants, as a man, obey the Father and overcome Satan. That's what it's about. Oh, we are the church. Why are you the church? Because we're on the ground. And your ground, it's sinking sand. Christ is the foundation of the church. We have to be in Christ. If it's just in teaching and not in reality, it doesn't help. It's worthless. It has no power. Zion is the Lord. All what we do should be one with Him. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the goal. So the emphasis in the Bible is in Christ. In Christ. To live is Christ. And this mystery is wonderful. And this is the true unity. not a unity on the ground, but unity in Christ and in the Father. Christ in the Father in Christ, and we in Him, and then we are in the Father. This is the mystery of the real unity. Praise God. Zion is important. A kingdom of priests. That's why the priesthood is so important today. Someone said, but at the end, in the book of Revelation, it says, so his servants will serve him. It's just servants. But did Paul not say in Romans 1 verse 9, I serve Christ. Is the service as a priest in Romans 1:9. Christ, whom I serve in the Spirit. And this word serving in Romans 1:9 means serving as a priest. Like exactly in Revelation 22. His servants will serve him. And it's also serving as priest. I have no Zion translation here. Any one of you has this verse in the Zion translation in verse 3? Revelation, verse 3. It's verse 3. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him as priests, that's the Zion translation. Serve him as priests. This is the word. Serving as priests, not as slaves, but as priests. Praise God. Don't think, oh, serving as priests is only bringing an offering to the Father. And maybe you're already sleepy because it's 20 to 10. At the end, I only want to say you should through and through understand what it means to serve as a priest. It's not only about bringing an offering. Oh, just to bring an offering to the Father. No, the reason why the Father requires such of us is that we experience Christ in such a richness and that we make experience in the best way, because only through this experience with Christ as a burnt offering, as a meal offering, as a peace offering, as a power of resurrection and ascension to sit in the heavenly places and be fully reconciled with God to keep the Feast of Atonement and to be really free from sin. And sin and drink offering, sin and trespass offering, and the drink offering, all these offerings, we should all prepare today in Zion. And that should make us to be like Christ. A man that is fully mature, qualified to sit with him on the throne. Because this is a way how Jesus Christ came to the throne. I cannot tell you any more than that. What a stupidity to be against this way of priesthood. But the Lord has to open our eyes. Why God requires such of us? Why this kingdom has to be a kingdom of priests? Otherwise, how can we sit with God on the throne? How did he get there? Through all these offerings. Enjoy much more in the coming meetings. The Lord be with you. Are you already tired? No. No. The Lord strengthen us for his purpose, for his kingdom, that we can rule and reign together with him. Good, praise the Lord. See you soon again.